What's going on, guys? Pure Heart the Powerful here, ready to talk to you about Season 2 of Riverdale, Episode 1 on AfterBuzz TV. We've been waiting for what feels like my entire life. I'm so freaking amped. We're going to talk about everything for you guys. We're going to break it down for you right now. We'll see you in just 1 second.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, yeah. That's right. My energy. Yeah. Perfect. Perfect. All right. What's up, guys? We're back. We're back in the studio. How long has it actually been? Like 5 months? It's like the NBA offseason, right?
Like May, June, July, August. Okay, yeah, like 5 months.
Yes. It's kind of like in the NBA season where it's like you don't realize it, but it runs like almost 8 months a year. That's like how Riverdale is going to be from now on for us.
I'm so excited. I'm happy about this information.
Yeah, this is great. About the NBA season? That's what you wanted to talk about?
Like the super long season of Riverdale. Amazing.
Yeah. Guys, welcome back. It's AfterBuzz TV. We're here to talk Riverdale. This is awesome. I said last year, this was the only show that I was watching that I legitimately every week had to watch live, like, as soon as it possibly was on television. Most of the shows that I was covering, I could give it a few hours. I could give it even a whole day sometimes. Mm-hmm. This one, I had to do it, you know? I had to do it.
Because if you didn't, you'd feel itchy.
It was my favorite show last year. I was so excited about it.
Are you insinuating that Ben is addicted to Riverdale?
Maybe he's tweaking a little bit.
Yeah. I feel a little tweaked.
You've been tweaking. You guys have seen me for the past 5 months and like, hashtag Riverdale strong. I swear, anytime I see one of them.
Oh, we should shout out the fan who's been sending us Riverdale information.
Charmed original.
Thank you. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for all of your Riverdale news updates on the Twitter. It has been amazing. Every time I look up, I'm like, oh my gosh, there is new Riverdale information right here, ready for me to grab.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just a lot's happened, guys. A lot has happened.
Should we introduce ourselves again for the new fans, if there's any of them out there?
Let's start out with the mascot, Mr. Frank Moran. He's back. He's at the end of the table. Round of applause for Frank.
I'm amped.
It's a terrible cheer.
I'm working on it. By the season finale, it's going to be a polished piece of work.
That's great.
I'm just workshopping some stuff.
Everybody's back.
That's right.
Where can they find you, Frank?
I dare you to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Happy Go Jackie.
Excellent.
It's a delightful experience following this guy. If you want to know where good food in LA is, you got to follow Happy Go Jackie.
Or anywhere.
Yes. Joelle, what about you?
Introduce yourself. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
And guys, Sam? Oh, sorry. Go
ahead. I can introduce myself. I'm just kidding. I'm so excited. Honestly, I've been waiting for this day for such a long time. I'm Sam Davidson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at SamD43. I will be in the live chat this evening. I see a lot of you guys are chatting. I'm trying to catch up, but please keep on doing so.
Yeah, and I'm Ben Bateman. You guys can find me at Ben Bateman Media, Twitter, Instagram. I'm excited. Riverdale's back. We're back. I was so. And you know what, guys? What the cool thing that happened was since we did the show last, I got to interview the entire cast at Comic-Con.
I saw that. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was really cool, but it sucked we didn't have a show going on at the time. So it came and went, and I now just have to tell stories about it.
I was really jealous when I saw it. I was like, good for him.
I felt the same way.
It was cool. It was a fun time. It was a good Comic-Con. So we're back to talk about Riverdale. There's a lot to talk about. We have a big season. We have twice as many episodes just about.
God, right? I thank you. Yeah. I'm so happy.
Especially considering how this season started off. Like, they give you, like, 22 episodes worth of plot in the first episode. I'm like, we have so much stuff to flesh out, discover, figure out.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm looking forward to watching everyone's journey, but particularly Jughead's.
Yeah, he's a treasure. It's a national treasure. Something to point out quickly is that AfterBuzz TV has now expanded into multiple YouTube channels. We have, because we wanted people to be able to really, watch exactly what they wanted to watch, this is now on AfterBuzz Dramas. So if you guys are finding this, if you're, watching whatever you're watching, make sure you subscribe to this channel, because if you want to be able to follow Riverdale and all the other dramas and only get that, you can now choose which of the channels you're watching so you don't get, 150 shows all on one channel all the time.
And of course, you guys can also follow us on Twitter, because I know we all retweet, links to everything.
Absolutely.
So if you follow us too, you'll be able to find where when the show's going to be.
It's an adjustment, but for me as like a fan of some of the other shows on here, it's been really helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. So guys, we're going to break down the entire episode, A Kiss Before Dying. But before we do, I want to let everybody know about Dynasty.
Yeah.
The most insanely addictive new show of the fall is here, Wednesday, October 11th on the CW. It's the highly anticipated series premiere of Dynasty. Have you seen the original Dynasty? It's one of the most iconic shows of the 80s. The fashion, the fight scenes alone, they're legendary. The CW's version of the Dynasty is already getting major love from critics. You won't be able to get enough of the drama and all of the surprises. It's from the producers of Gossip Girl, The OC. Love Gossip Girl,
you know
The
OC. It's gonna be good.
So you know it won't disappoint. The Garringtons are the family that has it all. Their business is literally power. They'll do anything to get more power. Blake Carrington rules the Dynasty by all means necessary, including manipulating his own kids, Fallon and Steven. Fallon Carrington is ready to take over the family business and the world, but she's in for a big surprise. Cue Crystal, her father's equally ambitious and gorgeous young fiance. Get yes. ready. The women of this show are bosses. They're not fighting for a man. They're fighting for business and family. For the Carringtons, that's the same thing. Don't miss the series premiere of Dynasty, Wednesday, October 11th, after the season premiere of Riverdale, only on the CW. That's literally tonight. In fact, it's airing right now. It probably aired a few hours ago. Go yeah. check it out. Dynasty.
And next Wednesday, a week from today, I'm doing a pilot review show here at AfterBuzz TV, and we are going to be doing a review of the pilot of Dynasty. So if you're interested, check it out.
Every time I saw the promo where they do the clip where it's like, she says, Crystal, no, call me Mom.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
All right. I'm in.
You got me.
Yeah, right.
It's like the new daddy. Get it? But, you know, everyone on the show is obsessed with calling each other daddy.
Yeah, the main guy in this show, I keep seeing the ads for, he reminds me a lot of Christian, the doctor from Nip Tuck. You know? The
oh, look.
He's
yeah.
got that chiseled kind of mid-40s.
Good old Grant Shell from Melrose Place.
Oh, like and oh, yeah. he was on, what was it, Devious Maids.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Classics.
Handsome, handsome. All right, let's talk Riverdale. So I just want to say right off the bat, Cole Sprouse on a motorcycle. I mean, drop the mic right now?
Woo!
I don't know.
Well, and Betty, like, flirting with her bad girl side of like, I will get on this motorcycle.
Yeah.
I was like, I ship it now. And I was so anti-bug before, but now I'm like, they got me. They won me over. It's probably because
told
they're
you.
An IRL couple now, and I'm like,
Is that really a thing? Did
yeah.
I miss that?
Yes. Did you not see their secret, like, hand-holding at the Comic-Con?
It's so precious.
Oh, my God. There's so much
they're
on
the so
internet.
Cute.
You've
and now
missed
I'm
a
I'm
lot.
Like, I'm about it now.
What?
Yeah.
They didn't tell you that in person when you
I
interviewed them?
I follow literally all of them on Twitter, and how do I not know this? By the way, actually, guys, just speaking of that interview, I told the story on here before, how when I was, like, 17, I worked at that comic book store, mm-hmm. and Cole mm-hmm. and Dylan used to come in. I'd sell them comic books. And so I tell him in the interview, and he's like, that's why you look so familiar.
Oh.
So we totally have the moment. It's great.
That's so cute.
Yeah, it's funny. So, but anyway, he rides a motorcycle, and it's wonderful in this episode. So let's talk Bughead news. Did I say something funny for
no,
you?
No, it's just great. I just feel like you should get yourself a motorcycle, Ben.
I should, if I was a Southside Serpent. So,
oh, you should become a Southside Serpent. You should
cool.
be a Southside Serpent for Halloween.
I was going to say, Left do goals. I smell a Halloween costume?
I have a leather jacket that I wear every Halloween for some reason or another.
Roxy
I was 90s Supergirl.
Great Betty.
That's nice.
It's the right. perfect couple's
ooh,
costume.
Yes.
Betty, should we be Betty and Jughead?
Yes. Oh, my God. And you'll wear the hat. You got to wear the hat.
And then I'll ship you guys, too. Oh, I love this.
I'll eat a burger. It'll be great. So let's talk. I guess there's just so much to cover, guys. There's so much going on. I want to, like, I don't know where to start, but I think we should probably start with Betty and Jughead because... each of the characters converges on the hospital, and we get the aftermath of this shooting that happens in Pops at the end of last season. But we do get some of the aftermath of the wonderful things that happened at the end of last season. So Betty has a conversation with her mom about what happens in the trailer.
Yeah.
And Alice is just like, what happened? It's like so just wonderful.
I loved that there was a lot of funny moments sprinkled in this very dark episode.
Yeah.
And that being one of them, but I really have noticed that the makeup that they're doing with Betty and with Alice, they're making them look more similar mm-hmm. and more similar.
Right.
And I don't know what it is. I think it might be the eyeshadow they're doing on both of them. But I'm like, okay, they're making Betty like she is Alice.
Right.
But Alice definitely has a dark past that we don't know about with the serpents, which is also important to
this
remember.
This is something we talked about a lot last season about the kids becoming their parents and
right.
how that kind of affects one another. And I think that conversation Betty has with her mom at the table, Frank's the only one here who's a parent. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you dread this conversation?
Oh, hopefully I'll be dead.
I just really liked Betty was like, no, we came close, but it did not happen. I just like that she's kind of ballsier with her mom. Like,
yeah.
We saw her be kind of afraid and skittish, which made us think that mom was, like, batshit. But
she is a little bit,
but she seems more balanced this season. A lot of her, like, what we might have considered cuckoo talk last season was underscored with, like, a very light kind of bouncy composition underneath it that I think added, like, a layer of Jess to it. I don't feel as afraid of her this season, and she feels much more motherly to me, which I kind of have
enjoyed.
Yeah,
Betty and Veronica both stood up for their moms. I can't wait to talk Veronica, but let's keep getting into the Bughead stuff. So, so we have this conversation between Alice and Betty, and so we do get a little bit of that, and then we do actually get some conversations between Jughead and Betty about what's going on, and she's like afraid of the jacket and the serpents, and Jughead kind of tries to play it off like it's not legit, but then he kind of admits why what's going on.
But I like those. It's certainly when you want to have a cliffhanger or at least kind of set things up for a season two, like they did in the finale, you get that moment where he puts on the jacket and he's standing there with the rest of the Southside serpents, and he's like, oh yeah, this is my place. But I can feel like that's always like a high moment, and I think everybody's been in that position where you do a move, and then the light of the next morning comes by, and you're like, eh, all right, I don't know if I'm really that into it. And I feel like he's still kind of like ambivalent. I mean, I think he wants to kind of pursue it, but he's also like, I didn't become Dark Jughead.
Right.
Yeah. Still, yeah. Not yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole reason is I just want to be close to my dad.
Yeah.
He's not here. I have no family.
Right.
This is the closest thing to family. I really like exploring, because I think that happens to a lot of people where it's like, I necessarily make a bad decision or go to the dark side. I just was looking for a place to call home. I was looking for family.
We really didn't get any skeet, skeet, skeet in this episode at
all.
Oh,
no,
he was
we
nowhere
did.
To be found.
But I think what's important to remember about this episode, so the theme kind of is a father-son situation, and Archie is after, you know, with his father, trying to help him, trying to save him. But the thing we think we need to keep attention to, is Jughead and how he's going to mirror his father. And that, like, did we not notice he was acting very different this episode? I mean, he is trying to take on the role of everybody, of the sheriff, of the Southside Serpents, like, of Archie's best friend.
So isn't that just kind of, like, continuing his investigation from last season, though? He just felt like he was in detective mode to me.
It's never inconsistent with a bunch of 16-year-olds being like, we're the law. We can solve the problems. don't need adults. We are smarter than everyone, and we will solve every problem. And they do.
I love teenagers.
No, they've done it once. So, yeah, yeah, it's like, yeah. Oh, why shouldn't they?
Season two.
Right.
They're drunk with power.
Absolutely. So, we get to see that. We get to see the resolution there. A little bit of Jughead serpents talk. We find out that Jughead's planning on living in the trailer. He's not going to live with his foster family. And foster family, right?
Yeah, yeah. He low key made a deal with them. He's like, we're chill.
He's like, everyone's outside. They understand. They're just going to cover for me.
And then now on the flip side of that, we got Veronica with her mom. This is probably my favorite stuff in this episode. Actually, would be the Veronica and her mom stuff. There's a great, great sequence with the two of them where she gives her all the attitude when they're praying, and she just looks at her and she's like, you better get back in line with this family.
Should slap you.
Because you were a lodge above all else. And remember all that talk we had with Marisol last year about your godmother and how she's pulling the strings?
And in the finale, we were like, oh, wait, we were wrong. But we were, and I think it's just coming slowly.
It was sweet. The way she said, get back in line with this family, was like, wow, this is a straight crime family. This is great.
Yeah. She arches over her so, like, domineering and just full of presence and is like, I should slap you, but I'm not a violent person. I was like, but you are,
but
aren't
you? You are a violent
you
person.
You are just making a point. And then, not skip ahead too much, but at the end, Hiram is sitting. And while he's at the head of the table, she is so much closer. And the way she's standing, there seems to be, like, that's more of a power position. Because otherwise, I think that they would have staged her behind him.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, holding down the fort, like, standing behind her man. But they put her in front and standing up.
So, Lo Bejo in the chat, I just want to give a shout-out to her.
Great name.
Hermione feels like more of a lieutenant to Hiram, the way she ratted up Veronica about the crystal. The crystal. I was like, this isn't the Vampire Diaries. The crystal. What is
even
this?
Even though
powers
Sam
now?
Wishes it was. That was the obligatory Vampire Diaries reference that we get once per
Yes, episode. Sorry. I had to. But, I mean, it's true, though. I still know there's good in Hermione, but she is scared of the devil.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Hermione Lodge is whipped here, says Billie Jean Girl 24. I don't know about that. I think Hermione is still calling the shots. That's 100% what I think. I think she's the godmother, and I think that's what we're going to keep finding out.
That's what I think, too.
What I loved about Veronica was just her scene with Betty in the hospital talking about, like, old Veronica would have bolted.
Right.
And she's trying to be a better Veronica now, and it really played out in a scene that I really enjoyed with her and Archie at his house.
Right.
When he basically, which you would have seen in many scenes, get out of here, and she would have left. But she just takes a moment, collects herself, and says, no, I'm going to stick around. And I really like that turn that she did.
It's a good fist pump moment.
Yeah, that was. I did that for Ben. I was like, this is for Ben.
I had a fist pump moment. Though the ultimate fist pump moment of this whole episode happened in the last frame. But we'll save that till the very end because I was so excited. And then I was so heartbroken. But
I watched him watch. I was so excited.
Yeah, that was like an actual literal fist pump moment. But which is a horrible thing to pump my fist at. But really, honestly, I felt like visibly dirty pumping my fist. But I was like, this is TV. I just have to remember.
You're like, I'm still that little boy inside. Yeah. I would have loved to miss Grindy.
So back to this part of the story we were talking about. So, Veronica's like trying to come around for Archie and help take care of things. And I gotta say, guys, I was a little bothered by and confused by the sex scene. It was a sexy sex scene, don't get me wrong, but it was also just a little bit like
wildly out of place.
Yeah,
grief sex.
But she like did it all sexy like. It wasn't like I'm here for you when you get out of the shower and I'm sitting on the bed and then it turns into that. It was like I'm gonna like join you in the shower, need some company, even though you're terrified and didn't want to leave the hospital because your dad like is probably gonna drift into a coma while we're boning.
Trying to distract him.
You know? Yeah,
but the act of them having sex is not what bothers me. It's where it was sandwiched in between, scene wise. Like it's like, oh, I'm like really upset. I'm gonna walk this dog, and like we're gonna talk. We're gonna have this like this really great kind of connective moment. Then we have sex. Now I'm yelling at you. I'm like, this is all very fast and confusing, and doesn't quite hit the right beats.
But also, I think when you say fast and confusing, I think that's like the perfect teenage experience right there. You're fluctuating emotions like crazy.
And go ahead. So I just think this is giving like a throwback to Veronica in the comic books, which is in a way, if they were to have superpowers, hers would have been like sex.
Yeah.
And being sexy. And that's the only thing she really knows how to use to either hurt people or make people feel better. It's her sexuality.
Kind of address that. I think especially like, right, after having sex with somebody and then they're yelling at you immediately. Right. I wish there had been just a little more connection to those scenes.
Well, I think there is something to point out here, which is that like anytime that we as the audience, especially in a popular show like this one, sit here and like second guess plot points directly in episodes, generally speaking, there's an explanation that they're fully aware of this because it's like this isn't, you know, the third episode in some fringe show on a cable network that's like new writers. This is like a massively important show to this network.
Yeah.
So I do have to think that's probably a plot point that'll come back in.
So like, we have a really interesting comment in the chat. Liana Esmali said, my theory is that Veronica was possibly distracting/stalling Archie in the shower while someone snuck into the house and stole Fred's wallet. Not my theory, but I thought it was interesting.
Ooh.
You think maybe she was in on it?
I don't, but I think Archie's going to end up thinking that.
Interesting. All I was going to say was that I think it's possible that maybe having sex or something like that in like inopportune moments like that, maybe that's going to be something that comes back at another time. Like that's sort of like Veronica's way of coping or something. Maybe that's what they're starting out with that, because she definitely did initiate it in a very strange moment. And Archie's a high school kid. So like what, you know, he was grieving,
like, yeah, of course.
But like she steps into the shower and she's like a beautiful TV actress. Like, what are you going to do? You know, I mean, and also a character in the show.
Yeah, you know. It's like, hello, beautiful TV actress Veronica from Riverdale, actually, in my shower. That's so weird.
Right, crazy. Ooh,
Danny H. has a question. Why did Veronica open the bag? Hmm. Now, look, as a lady, sometimes when I'm caring for someone, I'm like, I need to either feed you or clean. This is how I care for you.
Right.
So, like, opening the bag, like, maybe I can start just organizing this stuff. Okay, maybe she took the wallet, but that does not make sense to me currently. But we have a lot of TV left to go, so we'll have to see.
Agreed. So, the like love, girlfriends, boyfriends, all thrown around, and, you know, definitely in this episode. Like, I feel like the two couples are pretty cemented now, which I didn't expect to be, I guess, at this point in the show. So, like, to really feel like we had couples going into season two.
Because it's the CW and they're going to break them up soon.
They're going to break them up by the season finale. Neither of those couples are going to be together.
If they make it to the mid-season finale,
me too,
I will be shocked.
Betty and Archie will still end up together at the end of the show.
Endgame.
Okay.
You don't think so, Frank?
Nah, it's, you know, Moose is still out there as a wild card.
Really?
Let's not forget Moose.
All right, so that's kind of what we have going on with the two couples for the most part. Now we can talk a bit more about the caper, kind of solving what's going on. So we have all of this like independent investigation. First, Sheriff Keller is interviewing Archie, and Archie's concealing information because he feels like he knows what's going on.
That was a letdown for me.
I would agree. I thought it was just a lot of buildup for what we got with the actual revelation. I was like,
You actually did the right thing, kid.
Wait, right? What are you supposed to do? He's got a gun to your head. You're 16. Like, I should have tackled him. Are you out of your mind? Like, what would any of you done? The exact same thing.
Yeah.
You'd sit there with a gun to your head and your eyes closed, terrified, well, pissing your pants.
And Fred jumped in front of the bullet for Archie. He did that for a reason. So really, you're going to get yourself shot after your dad shot for you?
I'm going to play the teenage card again, though, and say that there's something to be said, especially for Archie, who always wants to do the right thing, for feeling like he let his dad down. Because he was second-guessing himself about whether he should have taken him to the hospital or not. He was like, maybe, like, the ambulance wasn't there, but maybe I made it worse by driving. I think that Archie, like many people his age, just has a lot of anxiety and second-guesses himself a lot. It made sense to me that he was like, I'm embarrassed to tell you guys that I wasn't a fighter in this moment.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely was... I was a little bit of a letdown. It didn't feel like the episode, like I didn't feel like I got something important out of that episode at the end of the episode.
Carlos Hernandez in the chat said it seemed that Archie was not being totally truthful, even with that explanation about the gun to his head. Still seems like there's more there.
There's another detail, maybe.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, so as far as the interrogation with Sheriff Keller, we also get a lineup where he brings in a bunch of people, and we get some flashbacks to Archie seeing this guy's green eyes behind the mask. And he doesn't see the guy. So we then find out at the end of the episode, or at least it's suggested, that this same guy is out on the loose killing innocent people.
Innocent or pedophiles?
I don't really think she's innocent, guys. I'm just, it's a teaser.
She doesn't deserve to be killed just because she's a pedophile.
Right.
She should go to prison.
She did feel like way more of a pedophile this time around, I have to say. Seeing her this time, it like felt way less of like a funny, like, high school, dating the teacher. This time it was like, you're preying on another kid in another town. This is really gross.
Yeah.
And then she gets killed. So
fist there's bump.
Yeah, well,
I did that. I laughed and I was like,
I like literally saw her on screen just for the quick second. It was like, oh, she's back. And then it like hit me that what was happening. And I was like, this is gross.
So many fans. Ooh,
you guys, Jared Scroggin in the chat said, did he kill her with the same bow that Archie gave her? For her violin.
Whoa!
Mind blown for a second.
Wow, good shot, good. Jared.
Oh.
Serious, though.
Yeah, I missed that completely.
If it's just a bow in the room, I mean, it's a nice touch.
But how many bows can you have? A lot of bows,
true.
I guess.
Yeah. I don't really know what, do you guys have any, maybe we'll save that for predictions, what the hell was even going on with that, or like...
I would assume, I mean, I guess that he's after Archie, too, that it has something to do with their time together.
Yeah, I mean... I think that we're supposed to believe that it is Veronica's family, but I don't really want it to be. And I think that they're going to be a red herring throughout this entire, or at least till I don't know when they're going to figure out who did it. It might be mid-season.
Well, because she left to go change. She left town. She was hiding from her husband before, right?
Exactly. So this ending is giving us kind of like a hint that it might not be necessarily about Veronica's family or whatever. It's more tied to Archie and possibly Jason Blossom still.
Right. Speaking of which, friend of the show, Trevor Steins, was in the episode, had a frame. He was there. It was great.
Because, spoke a lot.
Yeah, well, because Roberto told me in the thing last year that we'd see Trevor Steins in the season a bunch. So he's supposed to show up a bunch of times.
And we were also in Sabrina's town. Lo Bejo wants us to remember where we were in Greendale.
So let me point out a couple of things. Green tends to signify magic. Green and purple are the colors we use when we talk about magic and or death. We've got eyes, we've got masks, we've got somebody after Archie. I'm not sure what's going on, but I am 1,000% sure that it involves magic and Sabrina.
Well, Sabrina, yeah, it was definitely confirmed we're going to see Sabrina in season two. So
I cannot wait.
But we're already talking a spinoff, and I'm like, we haven't even seen her yet.
Yeah, I know. Crazy, crazy. So that's kind of where we are with that. Let's talk a bit about the dream sequences. The Fred Andrews... just like all three, you know, him with the bullet in him trying to wake up and all the stuff that he was seeing. Because I know that I know some of that is just like heartstrings moments, but I also know that there's something there. Mm-hmm. So what at all did we see? We saw Archie, big life moments, taking over the business, getting married.
Graduation.
Proposing, Those are the four, maybe?
Or is there the one more? Wedding. And what I thought was most significant about the first one is that his wife was there.
Yeah.
This all seems to be things that, like, in a perfect world, this is what would happen. So it's interesting to me that, first of all, what kind of parent is like, yeah, marry this person you're dating in high school? I was like, Fred, slow down, sir. This is very sentimental in this moment. I get it, but wow.
Small town.
Well, I mean, Fred, you're right. Mm-hmm. It's like you always would say, you know, slow down. Nobody's getting married.
And also, when were the Andrews Scottish?
Right. So the
kilts. Why the bagpipes? So confused. But
was
okay.
Was that something to do with the blossoms and the red? Was like I was trying to figure that out. Maybe there's no right. They're not Irish. There was no like that wasn't like a thing we ever right.
And I mean from the comic books, I don't remember that being a thing. It's been a while, but...
I was pretty curious about that. Speaking of comic books, there was actually one reference, and I already made reference to it once, but the Pure Heart, the Powerful reference, do you guys get that? It's one of Archie's alter egos.
Oh, yes. Oh, I wrote that down.
Yeah.
I don't know. And Jughead's acting freaking weird. It's like his dad is possibly dying of a gunshot, and it's like, you're a superhero. Here's your new name. Like, really appropriate time.
It was interesting, though, in that sequence where for the marriage... That they do the line up there where they've got Molly Ringwald, and then they've got the rest of the Blossom family right there in the front row, too, just kind of all putting them in.
Including Clifford.
Yeah. I don't know, we're all kind of always speculating, is she, you know, is Molly Ringwald's character kind of some distant relative, at least, to
the Blossoms or stuff? Redheads.
Why put them all in a row? If not, who knows?
Why have her on the Blossom side for
Hey, guys,
sure.
Then all redheads are related, okay?
One other reference that I did like in this episode, just a random thing, was that when Sheriff Keller was talking about, like, motives, he was, like, hopped up on meth or jingle jangle.
The jingle jangle, man.
Okay.
What's the jingle jangle?
I have two things.
Don't get hooked on it, Ben. It is
awful.
It is,
you don't want none of
it. It only comes around Christmas, but it's really addictive. I'm going to say two things about Sheriff Keller.
Okay.
Yes.
One, he is so stupid still. Two, he's gotten sexy.
Like,
they gave Sheriff Keller like a little makeover, a Riverdale makeover. And I don't know. He
I
looks good.
I like the neg on him though, Sam. That was a nice neg on Sheriff Keller. That was like
still stupid,
but man, you're hot. But he's gotten hotter.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He was good. I agree.
But I did like the conversation though, where they do ask, "Do you have any leads?" Like, well, no, this just happened. Do you know who did it? They said, "Do you know who did it?" Like,
yeah.
No, it just happened right
Slow
now.
Slow down, kids.
Sometimes I think that Sheriff Keller is so stupid that he's
and
actually
hot.
And hot that he's like actually not that stupid. Like, how can somebody be the sheriff and be so blind to what's going on in front of their faces? Like, could he be working for the bad side in some way?
Well, there's this thing, he's a TV character, so
you never
know. You
can't
be that competent. If you're that competent in the show's the plot's already over.
Yeah, like, exactly. Oh. Right, if he solved everything, you'd have no mystery. Yeah.
But it's not even like he's just like, oh, that guy sitting over there in the corner, he must have killed your father. It's like, hello, or tried to kill your father.
There's a lead.
Yeah.
But if it was a Sheriff Keller-focused show, then you'd see him, like, really on the case.
Well, that would be sad. Like, that would be a sad show.
Can we talk a little bit? Can we talk a little bit about crazy ass Cheryl Blossom for a second?
Absolutely.
What? Whoa, yes, my queen.
So I just fist pumped and I didn't
think
even mean
she,
to.
She like has gotten control, and I like it.
The devil.
Like, she snapped at the end. She was like, "Let me light this whole house on fire. Like, it's all got to go." But when she's standing over her mom, like, if you breathe,
holding
it's because
tube.
I let you. I was like,
drink, it's because
this
I poured
is the
cup.
Cheryl I have been waiting for. And when mom gets out of the coma and she's better, I look forward to their bitch fights. Like,
well,
I
except
so
that
much.
Her face is like, she's about to be like Al
She'll,
Simmons
a
from
great
Spawn.
Plastic surgeon is going to come in and fix all of that right up. She'll be in bandages for a little bit, and then maybe there'll be like a big dramatic reveal. I'm just really looking forward to the face slapping that's going to happen between all the mothers and daughters this season. It just looks like it's going to be great.
With all the burns in the face, I wasn't looking forward to the face slap.
It's going to seem then, like it hurts.
When she goes into
I feel bad for her, actually.
Fred Andrews' room to give him that the kiss of life. She's like, you gave me, Archie. I'm like, oh.
Right.
Well, we start the scene. We start the scene, and Archie's going in, and he sees Cheryl kissing his father, and he's like, "Yo, Cheryl, like, what are you doing?"
Right.
She's like, "Well, like, it makes total sense. You gave me life."
Yeah, she's not all there anymore.
No,
I
she feels
like it.
She feels nuts. She doesn't feel like she's like just that like lovable high school girl who's like a little controlling and she's broken on the inside. She feels like she's broken on the outside now too.
But how did you guys feel when she was like, "What you did to me was abuse"? I was like, "Yes, Cheryl."
Yes.
Like, I just like that she called it out and understood. Like, had a better understanding of what had happened to her to get her to this point.
I love it. Even if she's a villain of this season, I love that she's strong and she recognizes what happened to her and she's not a victim. Instead of just being some crazy person like, you did this to me, I'm going to kill everybody. It's more like, I know what happened to me and now I'm taking control back.
I'm going to restructure the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
I make myself look like a saint.
Yeah.
I'm going to go like, about my life.
Like Taylor Swift?
Whoa! Shots fired! I was unprepared! Oh my god!
She said. I mean, she said that before. I'm loving Cheryl so much. And just like the visual of Cheryl.
Right.
The slow-mo. I mean, it's
the weird white. What was
awesome.
Up with that outfit? Because it,
yeah,
like, the skirt was weird, yeah, but it had the heart. It kind of was like a little bit candy striper, but like also kind of ball gown. What was I looking at?
They've said the angel of death many, many times in this episode.
Right. Mm. So the Pop said it in that scene where they went in and Jug was just like eating while he was in grief. They connected Jug to a burger this episode, which was good.
Absolutely.
Because they really didn't do it last season very much. They like waited and they take their sweet ass time to get Jug at eating burgers. And it really feels
it's
like
really
it's
really bothered Ben.
It is such a key part of his character in the comic books. He like always was eating hamburgers.
You guys, the chat is comparing Cheryl to Carrie. Like,
fair.
You know, Stephen King's Carrie.
Oh, sure, sure.
Yeah, burning of the house, all of that. I mean, red hair.
I mean, there's definitely some, like, sort of supernatural and horror element to this show. So, I mean, okay.
I can't wait. So excited.
Fine with me. Did we miss anything? Was there anything crucial that we didn't talk about in the episode? We got the dream sequences. We talked about each of the main characters. As far as the supporting characters, we only got the Pussycats for a minute. We only got Casey Cott for just a quick second.
Yeah.
But Casey Cott was promoted to a series regular, so we'll see a lot more of him this season.
Mm-hmm.
Is Joaquin gone? Because it sounded like he wasn't coming back, and you guys know that's my favorite ship, and now I'm worried.
Joaquin?
Yes.
Joaquin? I think Joaquin may still be a thing.
Yeah. I need them to still exist. I just need Joaquin to show up every once in a while. He's my favorite.
Frank has been moderating the set, bringbackjoaquin.com,
all
off-season. So.
Yeah.
We can't forget about our new Reggie, though, guys. New Reggie.
That's right.
Did he show up in this episode?
He did.
Oh, where? That was, you guys, when you said new Reggie, you're saying they actually recast him.
They did.
Yeah.
Because Ross Butler too busy? Is that the deal?
Yeah, there's
kind of
30
reasons why, and they extended it to a second season, so you can see him right
now. I followed this dude on Instagram for months.
Me too.
Like, I
didn't realize they had recast him. It seems like a weird this seems like a weird show to not want to get brought back on. Like, 13 Reasons Why is a big deal, but like, if you had the opportunity as an actor, if they were like, hey, do you want to be a supporting to major character in this show, or a lead in this show, or do you want to just figure out a way to do both?
Exactly. I think it's a hard choice.
Well, and especially with the extended season, and if they want to bring in... I know... I have a feeling Riverdale wanted to do more with their POC characters.
Yeah.
And it sounds also like that's before fair. They started season two, he had already... Like, he'd gone through 13 Reasons Why and had a major role on that. Signed on for season two of that, and then they were doing more seasons. I just don't think the scheduling-wise, it would have worked out.
Yeah.
The new Reggie's very handsome. I was wondering who that guy was.
Yeah,
I'm glad
he's awesome. There is one thing I want to bring up before we get into predictions, is Pop. Some people in the chat, I was copying and pasting comments. They think his behavior was a little bit weird.
Agreed.
And I do, too. I don't know if he was... I don't know what it was, but... It was like, first of all, you know, Fred had been surgery and back, okay? Mm-hmm. It must have been at least a day. Maybe a day? Mm-hmm. And there's still blood on the ground?
You can't clean up a crime scene right away.
Okay, fair enough. Also, though, just in general, he blacked out. He did not remember a lot of stuff. And I don't know, and he brought food to everybody. I mean, he's supposed to be a good guy, so I get it. But I'm like, is he guilty about something? I did find his behavior off.
Really? I mean... Because he sets up the context where he's been robbed before, but this was somebody that was not a robber. They came there hating their heart, and then he goes down that really dark hole. So I feel like this is something that he really hasn't encountered before, and so maybe that's why he's just lost. I don't think there's anything that he's hiding.
Maybe I think he knows more, and he's just like, I don't want to get killed.
Well, the guy didn't take a penny, so it seems pretty clear that it was not a robbery. It was a hit of some kind. So let's, I think, lead that directly into predictions so we can talk about who we think the villain of the season is going to be, all the things of that nature. Nice. It's like we have an engineer listening to us or something.
I'm here for you, Ben.
Thanks, bro. So what do we think? Who's the villain this season?
I don't know necessarily about who the villain will be, but I think there's probably more to... Because certainly that person, if they're targeting Archie, had him dead to rights.
Yeah.
And something made him leave. So I feel like that's something that we still don't know quite yet. It was why that person who could have had Archie right there decided to walk out of Pops.
I wonder if they... So killing, I think Miss Grundy's dead, right? Mm. That's what they were suggesting there.
Unless
I
guess, yeah. She like turned into some magic witch, you know.
And... I mean, she could be alive. She could have, like, in that movie Lawless, Tom Hardy gets his throat cut, but he survives.
He does. He does have to hold it till he gets to the hospital. It was really intense. Yeah. It's interesting to me, Grundy's death was kind of weird too, because she's being killed with a bow. There's so much blood, which yeah. is usually not the thing that happens with asphyxiation.
But so, I guess with the wire cutting. Wire, that's what I think.
Yeah, yeah. It's
not a piano wire, which is kind of sharp. Like,
no, I think it was, at, like, I think that comment in the chat might have been right, that it was the bow. Yeah,
yeah, but yeah, I'm still not seeing it cutting the throat, but okay. I'm willing to let that go. I'm curious to see who or what happened in the diner when Archie closes his eyes. It's clear that something major happened, and I think Pops knows about it.
And that's going to be a big part of the season. That lost moment is going to be what they're trying to recover all season. And definitely, I think I would agree with the comment in the chat that that is probably the bow. That is probably going to link back to Archie in some way. It is interesting to this. I was on Twitter like a month ago or so. I was talking about this show, and somebody was saying that plot line and the sort of like ease with which the audience just accepted that there was like this basically pedophile teacher was like really gross, and that it was sort of cheered on as this like fun high school plot line. And it was interesting to think about after the fact when it was over that in the beginning it seemed much more like something you would have watched on a show like a Gossip Girl from 10 years ago that was just like, this is teen TV, you know, yeah, like 16's almost 18 kind of a thing, but like it's not really legit. And then in this episode, when she comes back and you see her preying on another kid, it felt so much dirtier and more like villainous. Like I said, as soon as you saw it, it was like, and then they kill her right away. And I wonder if there was some backlash there and they were like, I think we're just going to kill the pedophile. I think that seems like a good move for this show to just get rid of the character.
I don't know. I don't want that to be true, because when Grundy disappeared, you know, last season, I was like, this was a random storyline. There has to be more reason to it. And I was expecting Grundy, we both were, I think, to be in any, or the finale,
something,
some part of the first season to kind of like go for a full circle, to let her go.
She was pregnant. The actress was pregnant.
Well.
So
then they killed her. Okay. Yeah. no, but I still have hope that the Grundy thing had a purpose. And I think that this episode, the ending of this episode, told us that this whole Grundy thing was not just a weird plot line. It was, you know, a purpose. Hmm.
Frank, any thoughts?
You look good in that suit, Ben.
Thanks, man. Wow. Appreciate that. It's nice to see
you. Yeah. I'll be curious just to see the what I liked about Jughead in this episode too is how he just really kind of laid it out with the Southside Serpents about Fred is like the second father to me, Archie's like my brother. So just curious to see what the relationship's going to be like for the season.
We didn't touch on the fact that there was a beaten nearly to death man in Jughead's trailer that he showed
an
up
innocent,
to the Serpents.
Nearly beaten to death.
Yeah.
Who had been like talking about Fred Andrews. Yeah. They were like, we just wanted to show you that we're in your corner kind of a thing.
So you tell your dad, like, there's not a way you guys could get word to him either?
Yeah.
Well, it was, I don't even know what I'm referencing in my head, but it's like, oh, you're the king now.
Right.
And Jughead's like, wait, what? And they're like, no, we do what you say. Kind of thing,
right?
And that is going to be continuing, and he's like, whoa, I didn't know I had that power.
Yeah. I wonder what his relationship with the Serpents will get to be as the show progresses, how much he's going to lean into that role. Feels like he can't lean into it too much because they kill people and do like really dangerous stuff,
and with Skeet being a regular this season, you can't keep him in prison the whole season. He's got to come out at some point.
I used the nickname Skeet 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 earlier. Nobody laughed. That didn't fly.
I get it.
Yep. I just know what it is, and it's gross.
I know. and sure. Skeet is not Skeet Skeet Skeet. I love Skeet.
No. I love Skeet. It was a failed.
Now I'm saying it though. I just can't stop.
Didn't work.
Okay. What'll be interesting to me is I think he's gonna have to lean into them, because that's the only muscle the kids have to flex. Really, if they can get to the truth faster than anyone else, they might have some advantages there. But that's rare that happens at some point, especially with the way Veronica is just smacking shit up in her parents' face like she doesn't care. And her dad was weird. Did anyone think that, like, yeah, but not too much that I don't want to kiss from my daughter? I'm like, this is a weird scene. It weirded me out.
Well, and that song at the end, they are starting a war. Right. Her and Hermione. I loved it. I'm going to work out to that song. I'm going to be like,
it was a really great song. I think, here's my prediction for the season. Veronica goes way too far with her parents, and they decide some retaliation is necessary, and she decides that the snakes are necessary. And that is when the couples break up, because it'll be crazy. You went to him and blah. It's going to be great.
I will say Hiram's expression after Veronica walks out of the room and he just kind of looks up to Hermione. He's just kind of like,
Yeah, she's definitely calling the shots.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much going to wrap us up, guys. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. It is our first week back. We're very excited. We'll be back here same time, same place next week and every week for the next, 22 weeks?
Yes.
So we get, a whole bunch of Riverdale. Folks, yes. where can the folks find you if they want to follow along? Frank?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. Happy Good Jackie.
I'm Joel Monique. You can follow me all over the internet at Joel Monique. Every week at blackgirlnerds.com. If you head over to my Instagram page now, you can see most of what happened at the Thor Ragnarok press conference today. It's a lot of fun.
And you guys can find me, Sam Davidson, at SamD43 on Twitter and Instagram and at SamDavidsonEntertainment.com.
And you guys can find me at Ben Bateman Media. Twitter, Instagram. We'll be coming back for the Walking Dead after show starting in 2 weeks, I think. I'm back here for this one. And then Action Movie Anatomy every Wednesday on Popcorn Talk Network. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, guys. We'll see you. Stay amped.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz see you later. Guys,
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.